Eric Kareen joins us. Eric, there is so much to get to. I think we have to start with the most bizarre story in the NBA right now. Charles Oakley, I guess, where do you come out on what happened last night at Madison Square Garden? A very bizarre situation.
I'm not sure how much you can blame this on the Knicks. I mean, you can blame a lot of things on the Knicks, but if there's an issue here, it's a long-standing one between Mr. Oakley and the Knicks owner, James Dolan. And from what I can tell, it seems to be over a lack of respect that Oakley felt, perhaps deservedly so, that was owed to him and never quite repaid. You know, back to his Raptors days, we remember Charles Oakley sometimes taking debts into his own hands, and this might not necessarily be that type of debt, but he does not let these things just roll off his back. So I think there's a lot of drama with the Knicks always, and I'm not sure this is that type of drama, but it is certainly drama. Like, it's one of the crazier stories I can remember going on in the league.
Yeah, very bizarre night last night at Madison Square Garden. Last night, we're going to focus on the Raptors, Eric, but before we get to it, let's focus on the team that defeated the Raptors last night, 112-109. The Minnesota Timberwolves have two of the most exciting young players in the league, in Andrew Wiggins and Karl-Anthony Towns. Karl-Anthony Towns is just a pleasure to watch on the court, isn't he?
Yeah, and he's actually been a bit disappointing this year because he hasn't quite grabbed on to the defensive side of the ball like Tom Thibodeau would like him and a bunch of the young Timberwolves to do. But man, is he a problem on offense, just so active on the glass, so versatile with the ball and with his shooting. And, you know, there was some controversy with the Raptors like last night, but you wonder who that's healthy and available to play. Do you want guarding him? Like, do you want Jonas Valanciunas bodying up against him? I don't think so. Pascal Siakam was completely dominated by him in the third quarter. He drew fouls on Lucas Nogueira like it was nothing. Jared Solinger got a cameo and was similarly ineffective. I mean, he just brings so much to the table. He's one of those so-called unicorns in the NBA that, you know, we can't quite remember a player exactly like, although I'd say Towns, you can see the lineage of sort of styles and talents a bit more clearly than somebody like Giannis Antetokounmpo. Regardless, he's a handful, and certainly without Patrick Patterson, the Raptors had, I mean, with Patrick Patterson, they wouldn't have had an answer for him. Without him, they weren't even close.
We're joined by Eric Kareen from The Athletic. You can read his stuff at theathletic.com or follow him on Twitter at ekareen. Eric, you tweeted last night before you sent out a link to your story that you were optimistic after last night's Raptor loss. Why are you optimistic for the Raptors?
I don't know. It feels like they're getting back to who they were in the regular season. They still have defensive issues, and I think a lot of that will be mitigated by Patrick Patterson's return, assuming it does happen. But DeMar DeRozan's back, and he has him in a good place. Kyle Lowry is being Kyle Lowry again for the most part. You know, that last night was the type of game that, like, it's tried, but it could have really gone either way. If Lowry's three-pointer in the last minute that, you know, took a few trips around the rim stays down, then the Raptors might win that game. If the Raptors get a loose ball, or DeMar DeRozan gets a foul call when he was clearly fouled when he tied the game, things change. It's not to say there aren't issues with this team. Like, the defense has been a season-long issue, and Corey Joseph helping to be a third man on Andrew Wiggins' drive on Tyus Jones' game-winning three-pointer was just another example of this team not being where it's supposed to be when it should be. But, you know, compared to some of those losses in January and early February, like the losses against Orlando, the loss against Phoenix, these seem, you know, you want the Raptors to beat the Timberwolves for sure, but this sort of high-scoring game would seem to favor over time the Raptors, whose offensive bona fides looked pretty good early in the year and continue to look pretty good even as they try to figure out their rotations and where everybody fits.
Eric, you'd mentioned you believe the Raptors are starting to turn a corner. Was there maybe their kind of 2 week struggles? Was that just amplified by the fact that Boston was playing so well and has overtaken them for the division lead?
He's not played a part of it, and I would also say it was more than 2 weeks. You know, we're going on 4 or 5 or 6 weeks if you think they're still in the midst of it, and I don't think we can declare it over because they beat the Brooklyn Nets and won at home against the Clippers without Chris Paul. But certainly, you know, they got off to such a hot start that you're thinking, okay, we're picking up where we left off last year. This is the second-best team in the conference. Nobody else is really close. And now, you know, after a bad month, they're in that morass of teams that could finish sixth or they can finish second, you know? And that's, you know, maybe some fans had thought they had graduated and the Raptors had graduated from that point and that it was their spot to be taken. But as much as Boston's been on a streak up until last night's curious loss in Sacramento, like the Raptors, nobody came and took this spot from the Raptors. The Raptors have given it away through injuries and through bad play. And it sort of goes back to what Dwayne Casey said. They're really not talented or deep enough or experienced enough to take any team for granted. I don't think they're necessarily doing that, but saying that they've lost to some bad teams this year, if you're looking strictly at the records, 2 losses to Phoenix, 2 losses to Sacramento, lost to the Timberwolves last night, 2 losses to the Magic. I could keep going, you know?
Yeah.
And it's you know, not the worst time to be trying to find yourself, because I think at their best, this team knows who they are. But at the same time, they definitely need to find themselves, or else they're going to find themselves in a very tricky first-round series and possibly without home court advantage. So, you know, anything that Raptors fans thought was a given is, you know, as we head into the All-Star break, is not necessarily that anymore.
We're joined by Eric Kareen from The Athletic. You can read his stuff at theathletic.com. Follow them on Twitter at TheAthleticTO or follow him on Twitter at eKareen. The All-Star break is approaching, Eric, as is the trade deadline. If you're Masai Ujiri, what do you do with the deadline? You look to make a major splash or just a couple tweaks?
Well, look, if I can get Paul Millsap at a reasonable price, I'm doing that. But I think that is sort of, you know, gone as an option. If I can get Serge Ibaka, again, it depends on the price. But I think the thing that the Patterson injury, and he's missed 13 games in 2017, shows is how much they miss his versatility up front when he's not out there. They have a little bit of everything. They have, like, the youth and athleticism of Pascal Siakam, but you also have the rookie mistakes and the slight build. You have the length of Lucas Nogueira, but again, there's that guy who can be pushed into the paint and is very foul-prone. Jared Sellinger really isn't finding his rhythm, which is tough to do when there aren't many minutes to go around and you're in a losing way. And Jakob Poeltl, I thought he was actually pretty good last night, but again, he's a rookie, and you can only expect so much out of him, and you can't even expect that consistently, because that's the nature of rookies in the NBA. So I think, you know, even if they can make a minor upgrade up front and it doesn't cost you too much, I think you look to do that. And everywhere else, they sort of have their rotation figured out. So, you know, if the home run swing is there, you take it. And, you know, it's a long way of saying context is everything, right? And
yep.
We know this in every sport, and the NBA's, the how tough it is, as my colleague Blake Murphy wrote, to pull off a trade in the NBA, especially when big money is involved. You know, it's more complicated than the NHL or Major League Baseball. Saying that, this is what these guys get paid for, and I think the Patterson injury, you know, even if he's playing 30 minutes a night and totally healthy, it's still a matter of what you do with that extra time. And I think Sellinger signing hasn't worked out as they'd like, and they have a need there for sure.
Eric, let's close on this one. Looking at the Milwaukee Bucks, a devastating injury to Jabari Parker. It's the same ACL that he tore in his rookie season. You just got to feel devastated for him as well as Milwaukee fans.
Well, yeah, because like Chris Middleton came back yesterday.
Yeah.
Chris Middleton might be the best player that, you know, most people, not most people, but a lot of, you know, casual NBA fans haven't heard of. And when you think about a lineup with Antetokounmpo and Jabari Parker, and, you know, if Chris Middleton could get back to 75 or 80% of his productivity, it's a team you really don't want to face in the NBA. And Parker had made such strides in the playoffs, I should say, and Parker had made such strides in the this season. He's still figuring it out on the defensive end, but you could see how the combo of Parker and Antetokounmpo is going to carry this team into the future. They'd say it's a 12-month rehab process, which is just a huge blow to, you know, one of the teams that, you know, in a macro sense, you have to love their future. But, you know, as we sort of learned from the Portland Trail Blazers 10 years ago with Brandon Roy and Greg Oden, and you learn every so often, you can get all the young talent you want, but you're only an injury or two away from it all be blown to hell. So this isn't necessarily that. They still have a timeline that extends well into the future, but it's a bummer considering, you know, just how revelatory Antetokounmpo has been this year and how, you know, how strong Parker's play has been.
Eric, this is always one of my favorite chats of the week. I appreciate you joining us, and we'll chat next Thursday.
All right. Stay well.
We will try. That's Eric Kareen from The Athletic.